MoneyWeb now on the money.
This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. I'm chatting with Alex Monk, Portfolio Manager, Global Resource Energies at Schroders. Alex, appreciate the time today. The last 4 years have really been tough for the globalization trend, which is decades in the making. We've seen a pandemic. We've seen war in Europe and the Middle East. And this really has, in many ways, put energy security at the heart of the story and at almost a deglobalization in some senses.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we think about our energy system more broadly, there are two problems that we need to solve over the course of the next 30 years, one of which is decarbonization, as we know, but the second of which is energy security and trying to make sure that we can grow our energy sort of supply as energy demand continues to grow due to various factors, AI, of course, being one of them, sort of the topic of the day.
Yeah.
And what we know about our existing energy mix is that, you know, energy resources generally have been quite geographically spread into certain parts of the world. And I think what you're seeing with some of the deglobalization that's going on with some of the conflict is that different parts of the world are now having to reconsider where they're getting their energy from and thinking about that energy reliability. And that's creating opportunities for companies across the entire energy spectrum, both on the conventional energy side and the sustainable energy side too.
You mentioned geographic. I mean, that is part of the trick. I mean, oil and gas, and let's even throw coal into that, but certainly oil and gas, plenty of it, but not always in the right ideal places for use. And that might not even be wars. It might just be good old-fashioned logistics.
I think that's also what you saw to some extent in the post-pandemic period, where obviously we saw significant sort of supply chain disruption. And that largely, I think, triggered a lot of the sort of inflation that we saw in energy prices. I mean, obviously what we saw in Europe is a good example of this. Obviously, post the conflict in Ukraine, energy prices spiked higher, but actually energy prices were moving higher, you know, significantly before that. Again, part of that disruption from a supply chain perspective post-pandemic. So as the world becomes less globalized or perhaps less globalized than it has been before, again, thinking about where you're getting your energy from and the security of that supply is definitely becoming more important.
And you mentioned decarbonization. My sense is that this remains important, but it's not a case of just switching off those taps. It's going to be a transition. There is probably a future which has got no hydrocarbons doing our energy, but that future is, I was going to say decades, it's possibly a century or more away.
Yeah, I think what we probably saw again post-pandemic was that everybody set ambitions around decarbonization that were perhaps overly optimistic when thinking about the time it takes to rejig essentially our entire global energy system. You know, this isn't something that was going to take place over, you know, 5 or 10 years. It was going to take 20, 30, 40, 50 years to do. I think what gives us certainly a degree of confidence that that decarbonization will take place over time is that A, it needs to. We're obviously seeing, you know, climate problems, you know, continuing to escalate, more and more extreme weather events. You know, the recent events in Dubai, I think, are sort of very good evidence of that. But also what's fantastic about with some of these low carbon technologies is that actually they help solve energy security as well. You know, by and large, you can put solar panels or wind turbines in any part of the world. You're not reliant necessarily on that raw resource. We've obviously seen it even in South Africa, I think, where we've obviously seen a significant growth in things like rooftop solar as a form of generating energy security and boosting reliance of supply that's taking pressure off other parts of the energy system that remain a little bit constrained. So again, decarbonization through low carbon technologies is important in terms of solving that climate problem, but it can also be a real boost for energy security too, particularly in parts of the world where that natural resource isn't as abundant.
And it is. I mean, you mentioned there the sort of the new tech coming through, and some of it, you know, solar's not new, but of course, with the increased demand over the last years and decades, we've seen much improved scales of economy, much improved efficiencies and the like. There's still probably a lot of tech out there which we're kind of only scratching the surface. To your point, is that this is not a 5 or 10 year timeline necessarily.
Yeah, and that's certainly what is so exciting in some ways about this energy transition. We have a lot of the technology available to us today to solve, again, those two core problems of energy security and decarbonization. But we're also only at the start. You know, if you think about solar, we're continuing to see efficiency gains, we're continuing to see cost out. And again, that's going to make that technology more reliable and again, a better technology from a cost perspective going forward. Exactly the same in things like batteries. Again, battery technology, when we think about stationary storage, you know, really, we've only scratched the surface in terms of, you know, really ramping this stuff at scale, you know, really over the course of the last couple of years. So there's enormous innovation still to come in the sort of sustainable energy pool, and that's going to be massively helpful. And exactly exactly the same on the sort of conventional energy side. You know, when we think about things like carbon capture and the reduced cost of that, again, potentially allowing us to, you know, extend the lifetime of things like combined cycle gas turbines, again, that's going to be really, really important. We're seeing huge innovation in nuclear. Again, that's a potentially really interesting technology. So there's a lot going on within our energy system. And again, from an investment perspective, that's super exciting because it creates opportunities for returns for investors.
Does regulation play a part? I mean, it's one thing for a government to get a sense of we need to become less dependent on external suppliers of energy. We need to sort of be able to source, transport, store locally. Is regulation playing a part? I mean, certainly in South Africa, we've had some. There's been in the US, I think Europe and China as well.
Yeah, so when we think about what changes our energy system over time, and you can see this historically when you think about the growth of automobiles and oil or the Industrial Revolution, and you can think about it going forward as well, we've always spoken about three key drivers, which is cost. Ultimately, again, the lowest cost, most reliable technologies will ultimately start to gain share and others will obviously lose share. Consumer demand, and again, you know, thinking about sort of consumer reliability of supply is obviously going to be part of that as well, but also consumer decarbonization goals. And then policy is definitely the third pillar. And that's something that, again, you know, is going to be really important to think about. And we have obviously, I think, seen, you know, policy shifting over the course of the last couple of years, and it will continue to shift as we go forward. But it does remain an important driver of how our energy mix will evolve on a go forward basis.
In terms of investing, I mean, a lot of folks will say, well, I don't want to invest into coal. It's dirty. It's old. We had the IMF coming out earlier in the week. I think it was IMF or World Bank saying Australian South African coal prices still under pressure. But it's not as simple as just going and buying someone who's involved in creating your solar panels, because this is going to touch so many different parts of the investment world. Some industries who are not directly involved in the procurement will benefit from cheaper or cleaner or closer power.
I think, again, this is what excites us most as investors across the entire energy landscape at the moment, in that there are so many different parts of the energy value chain that can win as we transform our energy system and as we ultimately try and meet, you know, future energy demand. As you say, sometimes it might be the equipment manufacturers, whether that's producing gas turbines or wind turbines or solar modules. Sometimes it might be the companies building these assets and selling those electrons back to the grid. Again, when equipment prices fall, that can sometimes be unhelpful for equipment providers, but can be a massive boost in terms of the returns of those companies using that equipment. And equally, it might be as simple as some of the kind of raw materials producers. You know, if you think about a world where we're using a lot more electricity, which is ultimately the way the world is going to end up shifting as we, again, and try and decarbonize while meeting increased energy demand. Again, AI, a very good example of that. That's going to require a lot of cables. So things like copper are going to be very exciting. You know, in the battery space, there's obviously going to be lots of battery materials. So one of the things that I think is really important for investors when thinking about sort of energy is not just necessarily to look at energy in its sort of, you know, narrowest form, but to also think about that full supply chain of companies that can benefit as our energy system evolves over the next 20 and 30 years.
Yeah, I'd almost put that concept of energy as a key theme in the portfolio, because there will be tons coming. AI guys will find it better when we get cheaper and cleaner energy. We'll leave it there. Alec Monk, Portfolio Manager, Global Resource Energies at Schroders. Appreciate the time.
The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.